agency owners, web designers, content enthusiasts, fellow copywriters, and my mum. You are very welcome to this episode of the Content Goodies podcast, sponsored by The Content Lab, with me, your host, Abby Wood. Let's talk content. Hello and welcome to today's episode. I am joined by the wonderful Miss Kira Ma. Kira is a wonderful copywriter, content strategist, content marketer, everything in between here at the Content Lab. I know, look at that intro. Fantastic. Lovingly referred to as Kiki in our group chat. Kira is currently based in Dublin, but soon to be moving to the wonderful Lisbon. Hello. Bakery goods from the wonderful Portugal. Amazing. So today we're just chatting about you and how you got into this and what you like about it and what you don't like about it.
Yeah. Well, hello, lovely listeners. Thank you for tuning in. Very excited to be on the TCL podcast. looking forward to chatting a bit more about me, even though nobody likes talking about themselves, but I will try and not make it super boring for you all.
We'll try and keep it entertaining.
Yeah, only the good juicy stuff. All of the twists and turns.
As you can expect from the Content Goodies podcast. What more could you possibly want? Okay, wonderful. So tell me a little bit about yourself. How did you get into copywriting?
Well, I think it's sort of a long story because it starts in primary school.
We're David Copperfield in this, aren't we? We're going, I was born, I was raised.
When I was born, I knew. To keep a long story short, because we are going far back, I just always loved writing. It was always my favorite thing to do, like from a young age, like in primary school, I loved English so much. And that just kind of never left me. Like I continued to, you know, write a lot outside of, you know, the kind of normal curriculum, you know, stories and poetry and all that kind of stuff. And I think I always just found it quite a therapeutic thing to do. Like, you know, it was never really for other people. It was always for myself. And then when I got into secondary school, again, I just loved English. Like I actually looked forward to English class. I loved everything about it, like analyzing, different pieces of work and just getting to, you know, kind of do a lot of creative writing and, you know, share it with the class and have, you know, my teachers kind of give me feedback and stuff. I even had this teacher who was such a great mentor for me, an English teacher. Her name is Miss McGlynn, and she was just a really cool teacher. Like, she just really gave so much of herself to each class and to all the students. She was really known for that, to kind of, you know, have really kind of more personal relationships with her students. And she really just inspired me and just really inspired a love of English. And she used to, like, sit down with me some lunches and like go through some works that I'd been, you know, kind of some pieces I'd been working on, and like poetry and bits and pieces like that. And that just meant the world to me that she would even do that, and just kind of gave me a lot of confidence. And I think, like, since then I kind of always envisioned myself doing something to do with writing. You know, over the years, kind of, I still didn't really have like a solid direction. I just kind of knew I wanted to do something creative. I'm definitely more creative as opposed to, like, I didn't enjoy maths. Like, I didn't love anything too sciencey or logical or, you know, kind of black and white. So, yeah, then after school, I was 17, so I was pretty young finishing school. But I just was very much in the mindset of, I want to go straight into college, because I know if I have any sort of a gap year, you know, I don't know how long it'll be until I actually, you know, get into college and do something. So I kind of just wanted to stay on the education train while it was still rolling. But that also meant that I did feel very unsure of what I really wanted to do. But I just knew I wanted it to be creative. And I remember looking at like the college prospectuses, and the one course that really stood out to me was communication studies. And the reason being, it was a really broad course, but it was like all creative. Like you could do anything from videography to like photography modules to, you know, there was creative writing in it. I saw that. I was like, that's cool. There was, you know, obviously PR and branding and just all it, like really broad spectrum of communications. And just looked fun. Like just the kind of things that they seemed to do just looked really interesting. And I thought, I don't mind doing that for a couple of years and we'll just kind of see how it goes. So I did that and I absolutely loved the course. I really enjoyed it. It was a really fun course and you really kind of moved between different aspects of communications quite quickly. So you got a bit of a taste of everything. So like, you know, one week I could be making videos, the next week I could be doing radio, you know, then like it could be, you know, coming up with like marketing strategies. So it was really, really broad. After college, I was 17. So I was very young still. Oh, sorry, I was 20, not 17. I was 20. So I was still quite young and I still was like, what do I really want to do? So I ended up getting a job in, I had a couple of retail jobs actually, but the one that kind of stuck was for a Danish like homeware kind of brand. I was working in a visual merchandising role, which I actually really enjoyed. Like it was, again, using the creative part of my brain. But then after a while there, I kind of like found myself more interested in the branding materials and their marketing of the brand I worked for than what I was actually doing. Like I remember being like, I want to work in their office. Like I want to go to Denmark and work in the creative team. Yeah. And help them come up with their social media and their marketing materials. So that's when I was like, okay, it's time to, you know, put that degree to good use. And actually, I think I finally realized, okay, this is the path I want to go on. So
you stepped into agency life.
I stepped into agency life. I really did. And with a bang, like I definitely was kind of thrown in the deep end. I did an internship with a digital agency in Dublin. And I really got to see every side of agency life in there. Like I was really kind of, you know, given a lot of responsibility and, you know, within 6 months I had a full-time job there and I was managing multiple clients and I kind of ended up sort of specializing in social media and like writing blogs, writing emails, writing social media posts, running ads, and all that stuff. And I really, and you know, I was doing strategy as well. So I kind of really dipped my toes into every single aspect of it. And I got to work with some really cool brands and do some really cool campaigns with them. And I really grew my confidence there. And I kind of just realized like, I like that the running ads and stuff, like all very cool. But what I really found myself enjoying the most out of that job was writing content. I just realized this is what I want to do. I want to focus only on writing. I want to be a writer. I want to be, you know, a copywriter. And then I started looking at, you know, what opportunities were out there. And I mean, the Content Lab just, it was as if someone just kind of came up with the perfect job description for me. And like, it was like it put words on something I didn't even know, like what I wanted until I saw that job description. I was like, that's literally exactly what I want to do.
And I just got the job description.
I mean, and written very well. And I remember appreciating how nicely it was written. It really stood out from all the other job descriptions because they were all so formal and they were also like really wordy and really kind of, like even the copywriter roles, a lot of them were very formal, very like intense sounding. And then like the Content Lab one was like, we're a fun company, you know, like are you an awesome person who loves writing? Like then we're looking for you. Like it was kind of just more like, I don't know, kind of conversational and more kind of inviting and welcoming, I suppose. And I just loved the sound of it, and that's how I ended up at the Content Lab. And that was almost 4 years ago now. And 4 years in May is my Content Lab birthday.
There we go, workiversary.
Workiversary coming up. But yeah, it's kind of flown by, like, and you know, it's really open up my eyes to what copywriting can be. And you know, as you very well know, we can be writing, you know, anything from the banner on the side of a billboard to like, you know, someone's entire website, or you know, a brochure or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But really, like at the heart of it all is just a love for writing, and that's what stays consistent.
Yeah. What does your average day look like?
Yeah, my average day, Well, lots of coffee, obviously, as any writer will tell you, that is the fuel for our brains. And yeah, I suppose I sit down first of all.
I start writing.
I start every day with a morning shower and a cup of coffee. Morning shower very important for me. It gets my wheels turning. If I don't have a morning shower, then my writing is terrible. So I need my morning shower. And like, I think with writers as well, it's like you do have to kind of explain all these other things you do outside of work, because that's what keeps you kind of inspired and like keeps creative juices flowing and, you know, combats writer's block and stuff. So that is important for me, is my morning shower, my coffee. I sit down, I look through my emails, you know, I see, have any edits come in, have any new projects come in, what's my week looking like, what's my day looking like. You know, Abby and Riley have a really, really great project management process in place, and everything is just, it's so like formulaic in the way that everything's laid out. It's really clear what you're working on, which is so helpful, because you can really plan out and map out your hours of the day and kind of prioritize things. So yeah, I'll kind of look at our handy dandy Excel sheet.
We're very, very software heavy here at the Content Lab.
Our Excel sheet is really a backup for our actual software, just in case anything falls through the net. So there's a cross-reference there.
Shout out to Riley.
Yeah, shout out to Riley. Riley's got it going on. So we have that. So I look at the teamwork as well, our software, and make sure that they align. And then I'll kind of just get into my first project of the day. So sometimes it depends on, you know, what's priority, that, okay, this needs to be done today. So I'll obviously dive straight into that. And sometimes it's like, okay, like these are both due tomorrow. So what does my brain want to do, you know, mm-hmm. or what do I feel like my brain can tackle best right now? So that's kind of how I do it. I'll kind of go, okay, what am I in the mood to do? And what does my brain feel most able for? Like, I remember for a long period of time, I would always leave edits until after lunch, because I just, for some reason, if edits came in, I was like, that's not what I want to do in the morning, because I felt like I needed like a different brain for edits. So I would just kind of go with what appeals to me and what makes the most sense. And yeah, I'll kind of work up until our morning call. And then we have our lovely little check-in with each other to kind of see what everyone's working on. Also, it's really just a chance to catch up with everyone, and we kind of just use it to kind of shoot the breeze and have very unhinged chats about, it could be anything. You really there's really nothing off the table with our morning chat.
Hey, the job ad description was, you know, it really prepped you for the role, I think. Yeah. It was like, okay, this is a bit different.
a bit quirky over here, which is great. And that's what kind of keeps your spirits up. And I think it helps your creativity as well, to kind of just like let your brain focus on other things and let it go to all dimensions of the planet and back again before you start writing.
And I think that's a good point as well. You know, kind of, I think a lot of writers have their own processes and their own approach to their work and, you know, setting their day out and stuff. Like, you've got, you know, kind of your morning shower and stuff. I think it's in the Content Lab, it's well known that if I'm really stuck with writer's block, then I have a shower. And that is kind of how I you know, try and get over that hurdle. What do you do to overcome writer's block? I know that's a big issue for creatives, of kind of like, I need to get this done and I have a deadline for a client, but my brain just isn't in the right place right now.
Yeah. So I think like my first port of call is usually looking at websites outside of the industry. That's a tip that you know helped me with, and that I didn't even think of doing when it first started, like to not just look at like, say, competitor websites and blogs, look outside the industry. And then like there's the other things of just kind of getting away from the desk for a minute. Like if you need to go get another coffee, like I find moving my environment around helps a lot. Like if I'm having writer's block in, you know, the living room, then sometimes it's gone if I go into the kitchen, you know, because it's like, it changes your perspective. Like you're physically changing your perspective. I feel like that helps your mind kind of reset a little bit as well. Sometimes I get my pen and my notepad out, because I think again, you're switching gears a little bit and you're kind of thinking outside the box by putting your thoughts on paper instead of staring at the screen. Like, there's nothing worse than staring at a blank page.
There is the science behind that as well. Kind of, we are using a different part of our brain when we're switching from, you know, kind of looking at a screen to writing on with pen and paper. So what do you love most about your job?
I mean, luckily I love most of my job, which is great. And I always find myself bragging about it, and I don't mean to be bragging about it when people ask me about it. You know, like, it's the first job I can hand on heart say I love my job.
I didn't pay her to say that, guys. I'm just gonna throw that out there. You know, kind of, she's not held at gunpoint here.
Chains rattle in the background. No, I think it attracts people who love writing and who are just feel very lucky to be able to do that and get paid and to, you know, to work with other people who share that passion. I love most of my job, but I'd say what I love the most is probably, I really like talking to business owners and like understanding, you know, I actually love hearing like the origin story. I love hearing like why they started their business, how it's grown, how they run their business, what they care about, what their kind of values are, and what they do and why they do it. Like, I just find all that quite interesting because I find entrepreneurship quite inspiring. And just that, you know, people do these things, people start businesses and like they grow and they're successful. Like, I just think it's really cool. And then for me to be able to translate exactly who they are in a way that maybe they internally wouldn't be able to, but I'm this kind of translator for their brand into like copy that's going to actually connect with people and convert them and really represent who they are. I think that's kind of a privilege to be able to do that and to be able to, you know, kind of pinpoint like, this is what you're all about, and I'm gonna make you sound exactly like that, and I'm gonna show off everything that's great about you. And in turn, that's gonna, you know, hopefully end up with more success for you and more clients and more customers, more sales, whatever it is you're looking for. And I just think, you know, that's something that maybe people forget about copywriting, is the ability to be able to actually, you know, grow a brand and grow success through like words on a page. Like, you can do that. Like, that's what it's all about, you know. And that's kind of the bigger picture thing of it, I think. Like, you know, outside of just, you know, I'm writing a blog for this person and hoping this person reads it. Like, the bigger picture is like, you're helping them shape their brand. You're helping them connect with the right people. You know, my favorite bit of feedback is when people say, oh, my customers, my clients are always, you know, raving about the copy on our website, or they mentioned it, even if they just mentioned, oh, I loved the copy on your website and that's why I got in touch. You know, that's when I know I've done the job well, and something I really do love about it. Because it's real people behind the business and it's real people behind the screen.
Exactly. And I think that's an important thing, you know, kind of for a lot of web designers and for a lot of content writers and, you know, kind of in this industry, it can feel quite set aside from the human element. Yeah. And I think great copywriting, but also, you know, great web design and everything else is all about, you know, kind of helping people. And helping people help other people. And I think we're in a very privileged position to be able to help, you know, kind of people that we like working with, and you know, kind of help them achieve their goals. What's your favorite project you've worked on so far? If you have one, I'm sure that you love all of our clients.
Oh, well, one that, I mean, so far is tough because 4 years is a lot of projects. I would say there's two things that come to mind immediately that I don't know, like, I don't know if they're like, they must be my favorite because they came to mind. I think one of my favorites was Red Global, because it was the most challenging project I had had up until that date, and it was the biggest website I'd had, and it was a big brand, so it was like high stakes for me, but like I did it, and I was so happy with it, and you know, they and the client was really happy with it, and you know, they stayed with us long after, you know, they're still with us.
They're like, still with us, yeah. So Red Global are a recruitment company. They found us through Addictivity, a wonderful, wonderful recruitment-focused web design agency based in the UK. And we'll pop both of their links in the podcast notes. But yeah, it's so Kira is fantastic at conversion copy and really personality-driven text. And this company is in, what, 4 continents? Mm-hmm. 5 continents, maybe, and kind of they're very large, so they have a very not too corporate brand personality, but it is a lot more formal than, you know, kind of a lot of Kira's usual type of projects. But yeah, you handled that like a pro for sure, because it's very tech heavy recruitment, so it's S4 yeah. and HANA, I think, kind of that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah, so it's, yeah, very, very software-y, very techy. I think it might have been my first big, like, tech copywriting project as well. So it was a big challenge for me. But, like, I just when I look back at, like, my time here, I think that's what I'm just really proud of that. And that was, like, the first kind of really big challenging project. And, like, since then, I don't, like, nothing phases me. I feel like nothing really phases me anymore. You know, maybe if it was something super financial or super number heavy, it's the numbers that get me every time. It's the numbers. You know, if it's super, super heavy on the finances and the numbers, that's when I'm like, oh, like I definitely feel a bit nervous about doing it. Like,
out of the comfort zone.
I'll give it a go. But I'll definitely, you know, like for the bigger projects or the big tech projects or anything complex, it just doesn't faze me anymore. Like, I recently did a brand messaging foundation for a company that like they literally make, you know, digital home products as well as like online software and like all this kind of stuff. And it was the first time I figured out what a PCB layout was. And yeah, like it didn't faze me. And
that's the joys of copywriting with so many different kind of industries that we work with. So of course our niche is digital agencies, but kind of all of those lovely clients that we have their own niches, and you get to research and find out about so many different worlds, really. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, my family is always like amazed. They're like, so you're writing a website for, you know, a corporate insurance company. You specialize in medical corporate insurance. I'm like, yeah. And they're like, but how? And I'm like, magic.
That's one of the questions I get asked a lot, is how can you possibly research something that is so niche? Because, you know, kind of because, you know, like we'd write multiple websites every week and multiple blogs, and that's per writer. Mm-hmm. And you can go anywhere from, you know, like sex therapists to corporate medical, you know.
Rebel sex coaching.
Exactly. what was your other favorite project?
So there, it was one I did just before the Christmas break, and it was so much fun. It was a brand messaging foundation and website copy for Utah dinosaurs. So it's the St. George Dinosaur Discovery site based in Utah. And you know, they came to us with website copy that was quite formal and kind of sounded more like a science journal than it did like this really fun, you know, immersive dinosaur
experience. It should be fun.
So, I mean, what can I say? Dinosaurs. I got to write about dinosaur. Like, it was really cool. It was really, really cool. And I got to have fun with it. And that's my favorite thing when Abby says to the team, and you can have fun with it. You know, there's certain projects that, you know, you can have fun with it, that they don't need to
be. You can go all out with. Exactly. And I think the copy is better as a result. Like that brand messaging, they were delighted with. And it's fun. Yeah. And it's exciting. And hopefully it's going to get them a lot more visitors. So.
Yeah, exactly. And like you can see the transformation that can provide for them in terms of people landing on their website and being like, oh, that looks really cool. As opposed to, they don't want to come across as like a stuffy kind of museum that's very kind of, you know, stuck in its ways kind of thing. And I think this will, you know, really make them come across as much more fun and friendly and playful. And yeah, it was just kind of just fun, like coming up with copy around dinosaurs and
a few dinosaur based puns.
Here and there, ain't never hurt nobody, okay?
Okay, wonderful. Well, we are coming to the end of this podcast episode, but I like to round up these interviews with a few quick fire questions. Are you ready?
Oh, I don't know. It's coffee. Okay, coffee
safe. So, what is your favorite content related resource?
Probably the Great Landing Page copy website, which I need to get the name of it right for the probably that one.
Yeah. Fantastic. And what are you reading at the moment?
At the moment I am reading a new book. What is the name of it again? We Were Lovers or something. It's one that I got at the book swap. It's over by the window. Hold on. It's not gonna be quick because I have to go get it.
So just for listeners, we do a book swap once a quarter. So in the Content Lab, we do quarterly meetups. So all of our team is based in Ireland, but all around the island of Ireland. So we meet up and we swap a book. So this was Kira's.
So it's not We Were Lovers. It's We Were Liars by E. Lockhart.
Very different.
I think it was Mia, actually. Yeah, I think it was Mia's book, and I've literally only just started it, so I have nothing to say. But if it's Mia that recommended it, I trust it. And to be honest, I trust all book recommendations from our team because we're all readers. And yeah, it's I've never had a bad book recommendation. So yeah, so far so good. I like the prose, and we'll see how it goes. But it's by the same author, I think, as like. It's something related to Nicholas Sparks. I don't know if it was like another writer who worked on Nicholas Sparks. So it's kind of like in that world where it's kind of like romantic, you know. I just love a romance. That's me. So
yeah, it makes a nice break from insurance and you know, kind of farming and that kind of stuff that we deal with day in day out at work. What is your favorite book of all time?
That is such a tough question. But I would say the book that I feel the most like precious about is probably Wuthering Heights. And I think it's because like we did that in school and we analyzed the shit out of it and it just made me love it more. And I remember reading it over the summer before we went back to school, before we started looking at it and analyzing it and stuff. And obviously the language is old, and but like I still loved it. I remember getting my little dictionary out, like on my phone, like to kind of figure out what certain things meant. And, but yeah, I just love the story and I go back to it again and again and I still love it. I just think it's so heartbreaking and it's so romantic and I love the kind of gothic elements of it as well. So yeah, probably Wuthering Heights.
Fantastic. And to wrap up, what's the best advice you've ever received?
Oh,
I love that response. Oh,
so I mean, I would say a lot of the best advice I've ever received is probably from my mom. She's just full of fantastic advice.
Mm-hmm. She's a queen. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, she is iconic. But yeah, she always says to me, "What's meant to be for you won't pass you by," and I really like that. Like, it's kind of, you know, one of my beliefs as well. I do think that, you know, opportunities that are meant for you do come to you. And, you know, a bit of manifestation doesn't hurt. Mm-hmm. But I feel like in my own life, I've definitely felt like things were meant for me, you know. And if you're ever kind of worried that you're going off course or you're scared about the future, I just remember that, you know, what's meant to be for you won't pass you by. And that kind of, it sounds cheesy, but it's true.
No, I love it. I absolutely love it. Fantastic. What a great place to end the interview as well. I think, aww, you know, kind of what is meant to be will be for you. And if it isn't, then it's not going to be right now. Maybe it's for the future, but exactly. All good. Okay. Well, Ms. Kirima, thank you so much for joining me today. It was an absolute pleasure to chat with you, as always. And thank you all for listening in today. We will see you on the next episode of the Content Goodies podcast.
Yay!
Thank you so much for joining us on this latest episode of the Content Goodies podcast. Thank you to our sponsors, the Content Lab. If you enjoyed this program, please leave us a review. We love to get feedback. And as always, if you need help with any copywriting or content marketing needs, reach out to me at the Content Lab. You will find our contact details at the bottom of the podcast notes. It has been a pleasure. As always, look forward to seeing you on the next episode.